That's the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN. Richard Roper has just stepped into the studio.
Hey, Rich.
Hello. Well, hi.
Well, hi. Hello to you.
What a lovely late summer day we're having.
I know, I
today,
said the
folks.
Same thing. It was just amazing. Could not get enough of it.
Now, just get out of my way when I'm trying to walk to the Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis. People, I'm busy. I don't have time for chit chat, even though I saw a friend of mine on. I got no time for chatting. This is a radio emergency.
And scooters, get out of your way.
And Richard's complaining is being brought to you by Architect of Chicagoland.
It's not the first time I'll be complaining during this segment, let me tell you.
Well, let's talk a little bit about
that?
Coming up, the interview that we all did with John Travolta last week, the full interview.
Oh,
you'll
great.
Be able to hear that at 5:40
what a,
today.
What a lovely, lovely, lovely man.
Yes, he really is. He really is.
Not what I expected. He really was very engaging and warm.
You know, I spent time
with us.
There's some baggage in both cases, but the way I describe him to people always is Clinton-esque, the way he makes you feel like you're the most important person in the world when he talks to you.
No question.
The way he focuses on you. And I've seen him do it 100 times. It's not an act.
And it seems effortless and not an act. It's, and it does seem like he's one of those celebrities that asks about you and your environment. And
he's super curious.
And,
and always has, and remembers, you know, if he sees you again, he'd ask you how your daughter is and things like that.
Right. No, he did seem that way. And he spent a lot of time after. I know you've met him many, many times, Richard, but he spent a lot of time afterwards with
him. Do you want to talk about his movie before we do the interview?
You want to do that right now?
Because then we could do some other movies in between that. Well, you know, here's the thing. John Travolta, you know, if he got behind the controls of his own plane and flew off into the sunset, never made another movie again, he'd be a Hall of Famer. First ballot Hall of Famer, right? With all those iconic roles he's done.
For sure.
The thing is, he's still out there swinging away, and unfortunately, this is this movie called The Fanatic, like last year's Gotti, is a passion project that goes off the rails.
Mm.
And as we will discuss in a little while, John Travolta, it's very interesting because he's been on the other side of the spotlight for most of his adult life, right? For 40 years, he's been on the other side of the velvet rope. Now he's playing a super mega fan who is kind of obsessed with the world of movies. He's on the spectrum. He's got a lot of social issues. And he's particularly obsessed with the movie star by the name of Hunter Dunbar, action horror star. And he tries to get his autograph, and it goes sideways, and then it goes really sideways, and then it becomes Misery meets the King of Comedy. That's basically, I think we have a clip right here of John Travolta in the movie.
Is Hunter Dunbar here tonight?
That's enough.
I need to get an autograph. Don't let him do this to me.
I'm a fan.
I'm a number one fan. Help! I just wanted an autograph. Wait!
So, is Travolta's performance good in it?
I think it's good. You know, it's an interesting choice because they never really flat out say what his condition is, but he's got a lot of OCD, a lot of tics, and certainly a lack of empathy. You know, he gets more upset about not getting his superstar hero's autograph than he does about actual physical harm to people around him.
And you would think, given his experience as this phenomenal movie star for so many decades, that he would know what it's like to have a fanatic fan.
Yeah,
and yet the one thing that was impressive when he talked to us was that he did speak of how he can understand how a fan might feel this way.
Right, yeah. And then, you know, it's an interesting premise, especially in the social media age where people think that if somebody, you know, responds to you, now you're, you know, you can be someone's Facebook friend of a celebrity. You can follow them.
That's
even
true.
The terms
you feel
are kind of like, you know, following, you know, on Instagram and on Twitter. The little bit we are following these people. You know, the problem probably is lays at the feet of Fred Durst of Limp Bizkit. And it's not just because I don't like Limp Bizkit, because they had a couple of good songs. But he's the writer-director of this movie.
Yeah, that seems strange.
And he's actually written and directed a couple of other movies. So he's done it. He knows how to direct. It's a pretty good-looking indie film. The script just isn't... the dialogue's really clunky. And certain things that happen would never happen even in kind of a heightened reality of a world, because it's just not the way things work when someone gets hurt or when police are involved and things. Anybody who's ever seen any CSI episode could solve some of the things that nobody in this movie can figure out. CSI anything. CSI Ann Arbor. You know. CSI Berwyn. No matter what CSI you've seen, you're like
Cicero,
smarter
CSI,
than the
Cicero? I don't think so.
Well, maybe.
Hey,
not.
What happened to that sample?
So,
I don't know. Who's asking?
Well, that's true. Okay. I stand corrected. Yeah. 2 stars. It's not a terrible movie. It's kind of a curiosity item. I'm still waiting for someone to write the next great role. I think John Travolta has at least one more. You know, it happened 25 years ago when Quentin Tarantino cast him in Pulp Fiction. Everybody was like, why are you putting the guy from Look Who's Talking 3, who hasn't had a hit in 10 years, in Pulp Fiction? And of course, he ended up getting nominated and probably should have won. And you know, resuscitated his career. Then he was doing all kinds of other cool movies, like Get Shorty. He was great as Robert Shapiro in The People vs. O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, amazing. Even that. We talk about that in the interview. You'll hear
right?
that.
Yeah.
He's very... he does... He has that old Hollywood star quality.
Yes.
He's totally absolutely. Capable of doing anything. I even heard it in that clip. You know, he's trying to find that moment of... to find that moment to portray the Spectrum. And you can hear him doing it, you know? And so it's like, he's got incredible capability. He just needs the right, he probably needs an historical figure to play.
I could see that.
I mean, Gotti was, but then the Gotti script wasn't particularly great either.
No, it wasn't there's probably a great movie to be made about that monstrous guy that wasn't it. I keep thinking that he'd be great in a heightened version of himself, like Ted Danson on the Curb Your Enthusiasm. You know, he's playing Ted Danson, but he's playing a much vainer, you know, Ted Danson who ends up dating Larry's ex-wife and kind of is, you know, like, I think he'd be great as John Travolta. Or even look what Matt LeBlanc did in Episodes, where he played
so
Matt
comedic
LeBlanc,
rather than this kind like, of
play
this
a heightened
character.
Version of John Travolta, like where he's always dancing and things like that. I think something like that could be fun.
Yeah.
But this is a stay away from the Fanatic. Yeah,
this sounds like a meeting with an agent right there. Now, you know what I think we should do here, Bubby, darling, sweetheart? Maybe we could get you a limited HBO series of the Being John Travolta. You're doing a lot of dancing like in the mirror.
Possibly.
Do you like that? Maybe. Like where's the white suit? I remember that.
Bring that out.
I remember that Siskel, he bought the white suit. Is there still the white suit?
That's true. Or de-age him and just bring him back as Tony from Saturday Night Fever and Stranger Things. I don't know. We'll work on it.
Okay, another right. Grease sequel.
we're not being paid to be his agents. I don't know why
because that's such goodwill for him as an icon and as a friend.
I do wish him the best because he is amazing. All right, we're gonna find out about this Harvey Weinstein doc that everybody is talking about on the other side.
Sure.
And we also don't let go. David Oyelowo. It's O'Yellow, right? O'Yellow.
O'Yellow, yes. Great actor from Selma and other films.
Is in this film. This is, it's interesting. This is that weekend. It's the cinematic season isn't starting. That people who like to refer to film as cinema, that starts sort of mid-September.
After Labor Day weekend.
Right.
Yes, there's, in 2 weeks.
There are horror films. This is what the fall is made of now in American theatrical release.
Yep.
Is horror films and movies that are they want to get in, so people start talking about them as potential Oscar contenders, and you know, real smart things that people are going to want to go to, you know, because school started again. You know,
right.
that's what we're up for. That's what we're into now. That seems like we got a couple of the precursors to some of those things that we're going to be looking at here.
We'll see.
All right, so that is coming your way. And as I mentioned, the John Travolta interview at 5:40 this afternoon, cool. And a top 5 you won't believe coming up at 5:00, and then News or Ruse, you know, Kev, you can go home. Darren Jackson just confirmed.
Okay, thanks, CJ.
All right.
For News or Ruse.
Great.
I'm off the hook.
Darren Jackson. I could just see with DJ. Oh, you probably walked into the booth at Guaranteed Rate, and the producers asked him, "Would you join those guys and do that at 6:00 tonight?" And DJ probably went, "Oh, that sounds like fun."
Sure.
Wait till we find out how disappointed he's going to be on the other end of that. All right, all that coming your way. But first, Kim, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
We have some breaking news in the 2020 presidential race. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is dropping out. We'll bring you the details coming up.
All right. Mr. Rich Roper is here. He's doing the reviewing.
Yeah, not great reviews for John Travolta's new movie, The Fanatic.
But John Travolta will be on the program here at 5:40. In an interview that we taped last week, so we didn't have to deal with this.
A wide-ranging interview, touching on a variety of subjects, not just The Fanatic, including some of other roles he played and a lot of other interesting stuff.
He's a really good guy.
And yeah, great stories.
Good storyteller.
Found some really interesting, and he's lived an amazing life, too.
Yeah.
Triumph and tragedy.
Absolutely true.
So, all right, so
let's run through a couple of these real quick. We don't have to play clips from all these, but I just want to let people know about them. Well, you wanted to talk about the Harvey Weinstein documentary, which is an important film to talk about. Let's start with that. That's on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
That's 3.5 stars, the review for that. I'm giving it...
Untouchable.
What I found fascinating about this was... we've heard, a lot of us have read and heard the stories for the last 2 or 3 years about Harvey Weinstein.
Mm-hmm.
They were out there for, a lot of, long time before that, but, substantial allegations and criminal charges, et cetera. What's interesting here is not only do we hear from Rosanna Arquette and others who have, alleged, horrible criminal physical assault and verbal assault and abuse by Harvey Weinstein. We also hear from a lot of former executives and some assistants of his who worked in the company talking about, not only these horrible, horrible criminal charges, but just, 20 years of just absolute abuse. Everybody heard the stories about him throwing ashtrays and screaming at people and using the worst possible language. So here, this is a little medley. Some of the voices you hear you won't recognize because a lot of these are either journalists or former associates of Weinstein's.
When I tried to tell people, they say, you better keep your mouth shut. Well, I saw a lot about how the machine works in terms of burying scandals and settlements. Nobody was ever going to win against this guy.
I was hearing stories, which you could dismiss as rumor.
I was being told these women are crazy.
You have to do something.
Yesterday you touched my priest.
Please, I'm sorry. Just come on. I'm used to that.
That was that infamous hotel corridor conversation that was recorded when he was trying to get one of his victims to come back into the hotel room. And, just a classic bully who is just an absolute monster. The movie's called Untouchable. It's a documentary. It traces his origins, too, because a lot of people might not realize he and his brother were music promoters in Buffalo and then became huge, movie producers. And there's no denying the success he had with Miramax. I mean, the run of films from... Sex Lies and Videotape and Clerks, he discovered Kevin Smith, and then, Quentin's movies, all of those were all under the Miramax banner, Shakespeare in Love.
Right, which is the one that really took him over the top.
Yeah.
The Oscar.
Yeah, and Gwyneth was 24 when she won.
And she's one of the people who has famously come forward to say that he was not doing the right thing, and so is Angelina Jolie. There was this parade of celebrities who, big names, A-listers,
And Gwyneth at the time was even before Shakespeare in Love. I think she was 22. And, she said the balance of power there, it's 10 versus 0. But the one cool thing about that story is that she told Brad Pitt, who was then her boyfriend, and he already was a big star in the mid-90s, and he walked up to Harvey the next time he saw him, and he goes, if you ever do anything like that again, I'm going to knock your teeth out. And that was the end. That was the last time. And that's what people say, why'd you keep working with him? She goes, well, that's what happened, and he never bothered me again. So, you can't blame people that continue to work with him, especially if they didn't know all the stories, because a lot of people took a long time to come forward. And understandably so, because they were
such
the guy ran
guy.
The town, he was a bully. And he would constantly say to people, if you don't go along with me, you'll never work. I'll besmirch your name everywhere, and people won't hire you, and you'll never be in any movie.
And now you've seen evidence of that with Rose McGowan and Ashley Judd. Yeah. There are other producers that came forward that he mentioned. Mm-hmm. He pretty much soiled it for them, telling them they were difficult to work with and don't hire her and things like that. It just... I'm fascinated about this. How much participation do they get in this doc from actresses who come forward?
Tons of actresses, including some who are 50 now and never did become famous, telling their stories about, I was 23 and I thought I was going to make it and this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do hear from very well-known people like Mira Sorvino and Rosanna Arquette. And again, some former top executives and some former assistants of his and some journalists like Ronan Farrow. So 3.5 stars for Untouchable. It's on Hulu. Starting this Sunday, I believe.
All right, you got the time travel thriller with David Oyelowo.
Yeah, no, don't let go. Let go of that one. It's a fascinating premise. David Oyelowo is an L.A. Cop. His brother's wife, and his favorite niece, they're all murdered in a horrific home invasion. And about a week after the murders, he starts getting phone calls from his niece.
Oh.
And he finally figures out that she's 2 weeks in the past, and he's in the present day, and he's got to try to figure out a way to save her. She somehow is 2 weeks behind him in the space-time continuum, which is a fascinating premise that they botched completely in this movie.
Oh.
Well, does she see him?
No, that's the thing. If he goes to the house, it's a murder scene. But she'll say, I'm in my bedroom right now. What are you talking about? But then we see
that. But how do they communicate with each other?
On the phone.
Oh.
And that's one of the problems with this. And it keeps calling it. First of all, the roaming charges alone from beyond the grave. I don't even know what plan has that. But, everything. And when it rings, you see, and Storm Reid plays the niece. I just love her. She was in Wrinkle in Time. She's in Euphoria. She's just one of those young actors who's going to have a 50-year career. She's just absolutely winning. And David Oyelowo is a great actor.
Yeah.
But like from the start, you're like, okay, he keeps getting calls from his dead niece. It's like, why wouldn't you show your call history to some other person? He's an LA, he's the worst cop ever. He can't figure anything out. I mean, would you just show everybody, look, Ashley's still calling me. Let me put her on speaker.
And they never rectify that.
They never rectify that. Two stars.
That could be like a whole good M. Night Shyamalan kind of.
It had that.
We figured out. Like in the last scene, they go, oh, and by the way.
Right. That would have been better.
You know, the time travel movies, there's always going to be a moment where you have to buy into it. You have to,
okay, it never makes sense.
Because, yeah, Marty McFly can see Marty McFly's dad, you know, and, and all that. But, you know, those are fun. This one's not fun. Two stars.
Okay. All right. And Brittany runs a marathon.
Oh, I like this one. Three stars for Brittany runs a marathon. Jillian Bell, you might not recognize the name. You probably have seen her in a lot of movies. And she plays a slovenly millennial, 28 years old, 80 pounds overweight, tries to get her doctor to prescribe Adderall. Instead, he tells her, if you don't lose 80 pounds, you're going to die young. So she decides she's going to get in shape and run a marathon. That's the story of Brittany runs a marathon. But it's really sweet and funny and got great dialogue. So if you're looking for just a fun, comfort, feel-good movie, go see Brittany runs a marathon.
Oh. Well, that was a nice way of bringing it home.
How
right
about
there,
that?
Richard?
Okay.
All right. Well, then coming up at 5:40 p.m., you'll be able to hear maybe 5:38 to be specific, John Travolta interview that we did with him last week. And if you are a fan of John Travolta or you're curious about John Travolta, you learn things that I think even some fans would not know in this interview.
Yep.
Because he goes in places and I had no anticipation. Of what I know, you'd done a lot of stuff with him over the years, but I had no anticipation of how he was going to react to people he didn't know. And he's an interesting cat, as they like to say. So that's all coming your way. Don't anybody move. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. We've got the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is hot and bothered right now. Kim Gordon's working in it, and she'll have your news right after.